Hello, Buggy fans. We are back with yet another season of Shoot the Shit. And if you can believe it, I can't believe it. We are in our fifth season of this podcast. That's right. If Shoot the Shit were a CMU student, it would be taking what we all know and love as its buggy year, the fifth year, and we are going as strong as ever in this fifth season. We got stories from all across the history of buggy, different topics, characters, all the stuff you've grown to know and love, bringing you the characters, the stories behind the scenes of this sport. So we appreciate you all tuning in once again, and get ready, buckle up your safety harnesses, because it is time to shoot the shit. What the bleep is up, Denny's? Welcome back, everybody. We are flying through this season. This week, I sit down with Stacy Gardner. Stacy is the new sweepstakes advisor from Student Life, or SLICE, as they're calling it. I don't know if you got to put that emphasis, but I feel like you got to embrace the onomatopoeia a little bit. Anyways, very interesting discussion we have, talking a little bit about her background and what it's been like kind of over the past year getting thrown into this world of buggy that is so rich and full of history and nuance and detail and rules, and what it's like taking that all in to become the advisor and someone who really is an authority within the sport, you know, helping the sport develop, grow, progress, educating students, all that good stuff. So really fun, enjoyable discussion here. So stay tuned. We'll get right into it and go ahead and shoot the shit.
Hi, I'm Stacy Gardner. I am the current advisor of sweepstakes.
Thank you, Stacy, for joining us this week. You know, this role, if people aren't as familiar with it, one of the real backbones to race day. If you haven't listened to the episode from our first season talking with Casey and Ann Wichner and whatnot, definitely a fun one to go back and check out and just kind of see like what it's like from a administrative side dealing with buggy and all that. So excited to kind of jump in, Stacy, and hear about your experience and thoughts on buggy, kind of where things go. But yeah, I guess if you want to kind of just start off, I guess, describing what you think your role is, or how you see your role as, you know, the sweepstakes advisor as part of SLICE.
Yeah, sure. So the SLICE office, that's the Office of Student Leadership, Involvement, and Civic Engagement. And my role is as an assistant director. So I support the general operations of student organizations, which does have many aspects. Like that could be managing the Tartan Connect platform, which was formerly the Bridge, supporting the student staff in the SLICE office. It can look like managing the storage and the shop spaces in the Cohen University Center. There's the East Campus Garage and the Stever House basement. I think some layers of that is just like the shop training. There's relationships with environmental health and safety, and then even supporting the UCAB or the University Center allocations process. So then I think another aspect of this, it's just that advising piece. And so I advise sweepstakes, but I also advise a graduate student assembly, and I act as the advocate for the graduate student experience. But then also advise CMUTV, WRCT, and then the Committee on Student Organizations, which is a branch of the student government or a branch of student governance. But in all of this, my role in being able to oversee all the operations, I do get to be part of conversations that are helpful in just the general function of groups. And so with sweepstakes specifically, I see the advisor role as just being the person who has that bird's eye view of everything that's happening in the buggy community, and then just being able to be the constant from year to year in helping to carry information and carry the stories. And it's fun, like you brought up that the podcast with all the advisors, and that was such a great episode for me to hear, just to hear about their experiences and all the foundational pieces that they put in. And like, I feel a lot of what they said so deeply now that I've been in this role for about a year. I think my responsibility is just to have a temperature check on everything. So that could be from like sweepstakes to the teams, the alumni community, all of our campus partners. There's like the Pittsburgh, City of Pittsburgh offices, vendors, the, all of these different aspects of things. And just trying to connect all of the lines and bridge the relationships so that everybody can just kind of do this big dance together so that things are running smoothly. And I think in the biggest piece of all of this is just like that safety and risk management and making sure that the students are safe, because without having that as the baseline of everything, like buggy can't happen. And so just like walking through all those logistics and just there's constant problem solving and you're trying to make sure that all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted. So I think it's a lot of just like the communication and managing and maintaining the relationships and just having all like very mindful planning within all of those layers. Like that's kind of what I see this role as being, just really having that bird's eye view.
Gotcha. And tying it all together. You know, you mentioned you've been in it for a year. How much, kind of as you were taking it on, did you know about buggy? Like, what were your first impressions? What were the warnings you received of like, hey, you're gonna be getting deep into this, whether you like it or not?
Yeah. So the first time that I heard about buggy, or like the first time that I learned about buggy existing, was when I read about it in the job description for my role. And so this was like back in, I think it was like the end of November, beginning of December of 2022. And that was the first time that I looked at this. And so it talked about advising of the sweepstakes organization. And I'm like, sweepstakes? I'm like, I don't really know what that is. So of course, like if anybody that knows me, like I'll like research and like ask a million questions about all the things and just like dig to understand everything. And so in my process of applying for the role, just doing excessive amounts of research. And then when I was looking up buggy, I came across like the buggy website for CMU, and I watched all the linked videos and like took notes. And then I looked at like the BAA website, there's the Instagram, and then like the podcast and like all these different layers, and just tried to soak in as much as I could. And I just remember looking at this and being like, oh my gosh, like this is so impressive that there's this tradition and it's happening for such a long time. And like, I just thought that just really captured my attention. And I think it clearly has, like, in all of that, had such a huge outreach to the community and just every, like, an impact to all of the people that were involved. And I just feel that really deeply, because I felt those same impacts from being a part of, like, campus traditions or school environment traditions and just being involved with student organizations myself. And so, like, I just felt that on a really personal level and felt connected in that way. But I guess just kind of outside of all the other aspects of like my written job description, I think this was one that I was just really excited about, because it was an opportunity to be involved with something that was so one of a kind and such a unique tradition, and just clearly just such investment from everybody that was involved. And that was just, you know, I can tell that there was a lot of planning that went into it, but there was just kind of an exciting thing to be able to enter that kind of community.
Yeah. I guess maybe something interesting about the role then too is like, on the one hand, there is so much established history and tradition, and this is how things have been done. At the same time, you know, you're dealing with college kids who do need advising, and as much as they think, you know, they know how the world works, they don't necessarily or whatever. But were there challenges with that in terms of kind of like taking on all this tradition and establishment, but still needing to be an authority role in something that is so established?
Yeah. Like I think I just vividly remember walking up to my first roles practice, and I was with the interim advisor, Elizabeth Cook, who's my supervisor. And then we met up with Casey Palco, and like, I just remember like walking up, and this is, you know, 6 a.m. on a Saturday, and just seeing the buzz and like seeing everybody around, and just everyone seemed to know what they were doing. And I'm just trying to like take it all in and observe. And I think like the challenge of coming into it when it's like the peak season, and when, you know, everybody's in their groove, like relationships and teams have been built, and just trying to find like the entry point and make sure that I'm soaking in as much information as I possibly can without disturbing what they have going on or being a distraction. So I think that was just kind of like a challenge of coming into it, of just trying to soak in as much information as quickly as I possibly could. Did that answer your question? I'm trying to think back to what you...
No, it did. I mean, it could have gone a lot of ways. Just like,
yeah,
A, how to take it all in, but then B, how to, I guess, kind of like establish authority or build these relationships too,
yeah,
just in the terms of like, you know, Casey left some very big shoes to fill. You know, buggy people, I think, notoriously are kind of stuck in their ways and think, you know, they know how everything works or whatever related to buggy. So I guess also just kind of the challenge of building those relationships and like establishing yourself, and all that.
Yeah. It definitely was intimidating in its ways. And like, I love meeting, I think that was another aspect of what was exciting about this, is because I love meeting people and I love hearing stories and I love seeing people in their element. And this was clearly a lot of people that feel like they're in their element when they're doing their, whatever it is that they're doing with buggy, like you could just see the passion. And so yeah, it was intimidating coming in a little bit. I mean, I think back of, I would say, this is like an embarrassing story, but one way not to establish yourself in this role is to, you know, this was like my first, chairman's meeting, and I was introducing myself, and I'm pretty sure my exact words at the end of my introduction was that I was so excited for buggy day, or I can't wait for buggy day. And the fact that buggy day came out of my mouth, I'm like, that's like permanently burned in my memories. But you know, I think this past year and just establishing the relationships, like I really do try to just talk with everyone and hear their story, and I try to, like, as best as I can, to make time for everyone, which that is a challenging piece, because you do want to hear from everyone and connect with everyone, but there is a lot of people, and like you want to try to prioritize the students and their experience. And so I think it's just my angle of that was just trying to learn as much as I could, as quickly as I could, to establish it. Like, I really, like, this is important to me, and I see all of you, and I care about this, and I want everyone to be safe and successful.
Right. No, that totally makes sense. I know it's, I never was on a buggy team, so I started doing this through RCT and then somehow never quit. But it is a weird world, to come into, cold, just because there is so much depth. And like, you know, I think my first race day was 2010. I feel like I'm still learning a lot.
There's always something to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so I think you talked a little bit about your first kind of like roles and all that, and like reading about buggy, but what were some of your first impressions, just like really seeing the sport in motion, or like being in some of those, sweepstakes chairs meetings, and just like, getting so engrossed, like, if you have any stories, or just like kind of more like, in the moment reactions of like seeing the machine in motion.
The first roles, like walking in and like seeing and feeling the buzz of everything. And then, you know, everyone's just doing what they're doing. And then all of a sudden, standing at the top of Hill 2, and then you see for the first time a buggy get that extra push to free roll down Shenley. And I just remember being like, and my stomach just kind of like dropping. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's happening. It's like,
right.
This is it. And you know, you just like my background's, in the classroom as an elementary teacher. And so like, you're constantly like as a teacher in the past 10 years, I'm like constantly on high alert, and your spidey senses are always going because you're trying to pay attention to all the things. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, like you just feel that, like, you're always trying to keep an eye out. Like I tell the students and chairmans, like, I consider all of you to be my students, and like, I care about all of you. And like, I'm always keeping an eye out of, like, you know, for their safety. And so to see that happen and see them free roll for the first time, like, I very vividly remember that, and just being like, I'll just never forget that. But yeah. That's one of my first memories for sure. And just the amount of information that I was trying to learn in the first, like, I started February 13th last year.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, to like less than 2 months before race day. And so, just like all of those initial waves of information and trying to get all the logistics together for race day, and just seriously hours and hours of meeting with Casey Palko and then, Elizabeth Cook, and just trying to understand like the nuances and like listening to the Buggy podcast. Like there was so much that I learned from the podcast, because you have all these different angles, and like you ask the questions that people talk about, like their responsibilities and what their roles are throughout practices and everything. And so those were some of like my first memories. Yeah.
It is. It's good for something, I guess.
Yes. Advisor training.
There you go. Yeah. What was it that kind of, were you very intentionally like, I want to go to college age, or was it just kind of like a good opportunity popped up and you're like, let's try this?
Yeah. So this, like my background, like I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, and then I went to the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown to study elementary education. And then like, just as long as I can remember, like I've always loved the school setting, like love my teachers, love being involved, like being with my friends and traditions, like just loved it all. And then when I went to Pitt Johnstown, like I held, you know, all these different leadership roles. I was involved with our dance organization, sorority. And then one of the things that had one of the biggest impacts on me was a mentorship program that was associated with the first year students. And I partnered a lot with our academic success center, and then like worked in athletics. And so I had all these different connections within the student affairs space. And I didn't really know what student affairs even was. Like, I just knew that like, I love being in this environment. And then one of the staff members, when I was in college, they brought up how like you can work in student affairs and you can get a degree in student affairs and higher education. And at that point it was like kind of in like the last stretch of college, and the timing wasn't necessarily right. So I pursued elementary education, was teaching for about 10 years, and I was in North Carolina and then more recently in the Chicagoland. But then we decided to move back to Pittsburgh, and this was like fall of 2022, just to spend our time different and be with friends and family. And I like that curiosity of working in this environment, it's just never left me. Like, it's always been in the back of my mind. Like, I enjoyed teaching and I loved being, like I worked mostly with like first and second grade students, but this was always in my brain of like being in this environment, just because of the impact that my involvement on campus had on me.
Sure.
And like, I just love the setting and the opportunities that it brings, and just seeing how students develop. And so this was very intentional when I came back to Pittsburgh with my husband, and I just wanted a place that aligned with my values, and was looking for a community that, like, I was very lucky in the elementary school that I had worked in, that like my colleagues were just fantastic, and like really was just so lucky to be there. And I was looking for that same kind of place that had shared values and that was at like the forefront of education. So like I sought out CMU opportunities, and I came across this job description, and I was like reading, and I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Like, love all of this. Like, this is me all day. Like, this is what I get extra jazzed about. And I'm like, you know, get all hyped up and just like lost in the moment. And I feel like I'm in my element. And so yeah, I went for it, and here I am.
Awesome. Yeah. No, I mean, I guess probably no different than teaching, but, you know, I feel like this role doesn't really work unless you are very passionate about it and are willing to get up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday or a Sunday or whatever. You know, I just knowing from my time there, you know, working with Casey and whatnot, like, just a pretty wild commitment outside of just a 9 to 5, which, you know, probably you weren't looking for, but always just impressed me about the advisor role.
I would say that was probably one of the, like, I wouldn't say like unexpected. Like, I knew that there's like a lot of planning that went into this, but I think the relationship piece and just kind of knowing there, like, there's so many people connected to this, and like that management piece, and like there's literally just so many people that it connects with. Like, you could be on the phone with a contractor on a Friday night because you have to get an excavator off the course, or next thing you're talking to environmental health and safety about something, and then you're talking to campus police, but then you're talking, like, there's just so many layers of it. And I think, you know, what Casey's always told me too, like, just having an understanding of all of those different spaces at all times so that you can make those connections and be able to kind of prepare and be able to, I think that's kind of like the best thing that you can do, is just trying to be proactive, but you also have to expect the unexpected. And I think like in the advisor episode, like hearing some of the stories that they have shared, like it was so funny to hear some of those things, because like Casey had advised, like, make sure you tell the students of XYZ because XYZ has happened in the past. Like,
right.
Those are things that have actually happened. And so, yeah, it's definitely there's a lot of layers to this role, and you really have to try your best to keep tabs on all the things and make the connections. But it's just so exciting because you really do get to see, like, thinking ahead to race day this year. Like, I'm so excited to see all the teams just being in their element and like seeing all of the work that they've put in sweepstakes work, like seeing it all come together, and just like, that's, I'm most excited about that. Like, it just makes it so worth it.
Yeah. I guess that actually is kind of a nice segue too, to maybe talk even just last year's race day. And, what was that experience getting to get through a full race day on your own and take that in? And did you, I don't know if you even had time to reflect, or you're just running around like crazy the whole time.
Yeah. I think I wanted to make sure like that I was doing my absolute best for the, like for the chair and safety chair and the assistant chair. And like, I just wanted to make sure like they knew that I had their backs and that they felt like everything was taken care of, and they could focus on what they need to focus on. So just a lot of talking with Elizabeth and Casey, and I swear that I was probably on the phone with like 40 to 50 different people from the time that I started to like race day about like different elements. So it was definitely like, I was going to say a race to race day, but like pun intended, can't imagine, you get lots of puns on here, but like truly it was like a race to get all the details in order for things, because you just, you know, you want the event to be enjoyable for everyone. And like, we were very lucky that we had nice weather last year, and I felt very supportive by just the number of people and like the planning process and like the volunteers and people that would just like step in and, you know, like, hey, I can show these people, the volunteers, how to use this camera, and I can do this, and I got this covered. And I, like, you know, asking about tents and food truck placement and all these different elements. Right. And so it was just going through all those details and just definitely leading up to race day. Like, I think I might've slept 2 to 3 hours the night of race day. And I was on the phone with facilities and maintenance, like ordering a table at 1 in the morning because it like struck me that I needed to order a table. And you know, you get to the day and you're just, I think my race day, like I was just trying to tend to all of the like the volunteer roles and to make sure that they felt good about what they were doing, and just trying to stay in contact with like CMUTV and WRCT and all the vendors, because those are all the people that are at like the front of things. And they're like making it all happen. So I just did a lot of walking and running all over the course to make sure that things were just continuing to
function. Yeah.
To function.
Were you, did you feel like you were able to actually follow the races and the results that much, or was there so much else going on? It was kind of just like, oh wow, the Spirit won, I guess, like whatever.
I don't really remember any of that. It was like time for tape review of like being able to like have a little bit of an exhale of like sitting down, because you're just trying to make sure, like everyone was like okay. And then all of a sudden, like last year I had a shadow, which that was like a new thing for me. So like for W3VC radio, like you have a shadow person with you. And like, I just remember being really grateful I had that person because they kept me informed of things. And then like, you know, you go gazelle running across the course to go get to something. And then like, they're running behind you. And like, so I feel like I was almost like kind of like blacked out from all of the things because you're just trying to make sure that like,
yeah,
just the function of everything. So result wise, I'm not sure that I was super in tune with things just yet.
No, totally. I mean, in a very different way, I get so in the zone or whatever, like calling it a lot of the time. I have no recollection like the next day what happened. Like apparently I'm coherent, but it's just
you're just in it.
Or whatever. And it's like, oh, I guess that was, you know, 5 hours of the morning. I know you're talking a little bit about being excited for this race day. You know, in that year, are there things you feel like have changed or like that, you know, obviously you have a better handle on stuff, but is your approach to race day different this year or expectations any different for yourself?
Yeah, like I was just talking to this or talking about this with some colleagues. Like I almost feel more nervous this year because now I know more. So like you have your 1 year down and, you know, you're older and wiser. And the more you know, the more responsibility that comes with that. And so I think, I'm just trying to really finally go like sift through all of those details of all of the layers of planning and just reconnecting with people to ensure like everyone feels comfortable and confident in what they're doing. And I feel like this time around, I know what questions to ask, and there's still questions that I don't know to ask, and I'm still reaching out to people that have more experience than I do and just very heavily like lean into asking questions and just saying like, hey, I really don't know this thing, but I want to know this thing. So I'm just really grateful for like the relationships that have built this past year. And like, I know that there's people that have my back and like, I am going to do my best to have theirs and to make sure that it's a good experience for everyone. So I think it's just, you know, using my reflections from last year and trying to include everyone's input so that everyone does have a good experience.
Awesome. Anything in terms of a preview for this year that you know of that might be different or interesting that, you know, these hardcore buggy folk might want to know in terms of your kind of anticipation for race day? Oh gosh, we're almost just over a month out.
Truly. I think one of the buzzes in the buggy community has been just around the course, just because there's been a lot of changes to campus in the past years and a lot of like construction projects, including the Highmark building. And so there's always a partnership that's going on with campus design and just trying to keep each other in the loop of things. And so I think in this last month, we're trying to get those details put together. But so I think it's just kind of that continued adapting and adjusting to what is currently being presented onto the course. So like one of the major changes right now is there's like, you know, Frew Street used to be a two-way street, parking on one side. And now this year it's parking on both sides and there's a bike lane and now there's bollards or like candlesticks that go all the way along as of like this past week. And so there's things that we have to prepare for differently and adjust to. And so, and it's just things, you know, again, like you expect certain things and, but then there's also the unexpected. And so it's just kind of another aspect of how like teams and partners that are coordinating, just have to adjust and just making sure that like teams are aware of their surroundings and, you know, you just want them to be aware. So it comes down to safety. So yeah, that was kind of one of the big things I think that would come to mind for that question.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize that. Where is the Highmark building in terms of completion or progress or anything like that?
It's my understanding they're supposed to finish up, I think, for the fall, but they've definitely made, you know, the outer scope of the building is coming to its, like, a little bit of a finish line. Looked like they were putting, like, the final bricks into place for some places, but there's definitely a lot of work to be done on, like, the sidewalk and, like, entryway and everything like that. But we're very much looking forward to when that is completed and just how that will open up things for everyone.
Right. It has been a very interesting shift, I'm sure, for kind of the viewer experience of just, I mean, even just with the lanes and all that, but definitely a needed improvement.
I think that's the thing of, like, it's exciting to see, like, you know, campus design, they're always working to, obviously I can't speak to them, but, you know, they're always working to also improve the experience of students and make things beautiful and better everything. And so I'm sure that they'll be excited to present all of that to the community as well.
No, for sure. Yeah. Back when I was there, that was Skibo Gym, and there wasn't even the gym in the UC. It was something maybe a third of the size of the gym in the UC that was there just for, like, students to work out at. And the basketball court was nothing too special or whatever there. So it's exciting, neither here nor there. And anything maybe team-wise you've seen that's, like, stood out in terms of just different participants this year, or that people might want to keep an eye out on for race day this year?
Yeah, like, I mean, I think in general, like, things have gone pretty smoothly for teams this year. And I think one thing that I feel like I've learned about in my role, just from working with so many student organizations and then specifically in this community, is just that I do feel like teams and, like, organizations are still finding their cadence almost in a post-pandemic world, like, just trying to understand, like, what it looks like and it feels like on race day compared to practices. And now, like, people are coming to a point where they're, like, seeing their second race day and they're seeing maybe a third and being able to draw from their experiences of different years. And so, like, I think that's something that's kind of been on my brain as I'm going into race day and just thinking about, you know, like, you're always, the groups are, like, working through, like, the management and the leadership pieces, and just, like, that institutional knowledge and that passing of information year to year. I'm really grateful that things are the most normal that they've been in years.
Right.
But you can still see how students are discussing, like, that's still a point of discussion of how the pandemic has impacted their teams and, like, they're coming into that regular cadence of things. And yeah, I think that's kind of something that teams are just kind of coming into a good cadence of things. And yeah, I'm excited to see everyone on race day and just see them just getting to enjoy their work and, you know, have that level of competition show up.
Yeah, no, I guess that's interesting too. This year would be this year's seniors, fourth years, whatever the term is, would have started in 2020, right? Is my math right there?
Yeah, I think so. And I know it's a little bit, it always seems to be a little bit different for students because sometimes, like, they've been transferred in or, like, they started at different times or they started buggy at different times. And so, yeah, if they sometimes that might be the first, or 2020 might have been, like, their first year engaging with buggy. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess kind of the implication just being, like, beyond, you know, some students who may have had an extra couple years or whatever, kind of everyone on a team at this point never had kind of a traditional quote unquote pre-COVID race day. So it's kind of all since that new, I guess, paradigm or kind of just like knowledge base.
Yeah.
But good to see it's, you know, still going and thriving.
Yeah. And I think, like, to add to that, like, it's just a big building time for organizations. Like, they're trying their best to recruit and, you know, keep people engaged and using their resources. So thinking about, like, alumni and, you know, all the different ways that they can keep everyone engaged and just continue to build their team's culture and get the word out about their team. It's just, I think that's been really interesting to understand.
No, that's been one of my, or something I've just been very interested on the podcast over the past few years of just, like, how are teams recruiting and how has that changed? You know, being able to have some perspective of kind of, you know, business as usual before the pandemic. You did mention alumni there. I guess that is one thing I'm kind of interested in about the role too, is just like, you know, I imagine Buggy alumni are one of the most active alumni bases for better or for worse. But, you know, how has that been? Because that, right, is kind of outside the purview of your job, but I'm sure there's a lot of alumni interaction just given the nature of the beast with that.
Yeah, and just to be very honest, so like that was part of, like, in the job description, it mentions the alumni and kind of like making sure that like there's attention to those connections. And I mean, outside of the job description, like that's where so much of my learning has happened. Like, so grateful for the students that I've been in contact with, like day to day, and like core sweeps and full sweeps and all the teams, and just any grace and time that students have given me answering questions, and just explaining things and procedures and bylaws and how they apply and everything. And then like to have the added support of alumni and being able to hear like the stories that they're able to share and the historical perspective. It's just like connecting all those dots for me. And I think it helps me a lot in my role so that I can be able to consider all the things that should be considered. Like, I do feel like that's part of my role, is to make sure that I'm bringing all the considerations to the table so that we can make the best and most informed decision that we can for whatever it is at that moment of time. And I think like the alumni have brought such knowledge into my role and like my learning. And then like, they've just been tremendous resources and just being willing to share their stories and take time to just meet with me. Like, I think feel like a lot of times I've just like reached out to just random alumni and said like, hey, I've heard your name from this person. Like, we have a conversation for 30 minutes. Like, I just literally want to hear about you and learn about you and hear about your experience. And like, I'll take any feedback that you have, that you feel like might be helpful for me, like always open to that. So yeah, they've been very grateful for the alumni network for sure. And all my learning this past year.
Cool. No, that's good. It is, I think, really impressive just how extensive it is for Buggy, you know, and just everything around that. But I'm glad it's been a net positive.
Yeah, like to your point too, there are a lot of opinions in Buggy. Like, learned that very early on, and heard that early on. And again, it's just. But I think there's value in hearing all the different opinions, because it's going back to like building that context of things and just kind of understanding how things flow and how things come to be. But yeah, it's definitely, there's grateful to have all those connections so far. And I know there's still a lot of alumni that like even still I want to connect with. And I think that's probably another thing about race day, like last year being able to meet so many of the alumni and just being able to connect, even though like it might have been such a quick snippet of time, but just being able to like share that space together was nice.
Right. Put faces to names. And
yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it is, I think, a testament to kind of the Buggy community, how well, self-mythologize is a strong word, but just kind of like people really stick around, and like you can kind of trace the generations through, the key characters and stuff like that. And, you know, cool, even someone like Tom Wood is, you know, still so plugged in and everything like that.
And like, I think I have like kind of going back to why I sought out, like was looking for a role like this. Like, I just remember that, you know, there's been things in my own personal experience that I was involved with that had such an impact on me. And like, I really do feel that deeply of just feeling like connected and like just loving something so much. And you just want to see its continued success. And yeah, it's just really, really neat to be a part of.
I guess maybe looking forward a little bit, you know, obviously it's the students who shape the sport and everything. But are there any things you would like to see for the future of Buggy, or changes you feel like, you know, would be good to have going forward, or any kind of thoughts on the future of the sport and your role in it?
Just like thinking about priorities and like the focuses in the coming years, as groups are coming back into their cadences, like I do think there's a lot of value in just continuously having conversations around safety and just reflecting on practices and making sure that we're meeting the students where they are at this point in time. And I think that's really valuable to have those conversations focused around those areas, just because if we're not prioritizing safety, like that's the thing that we have to do to ensure that this can continue. And then I think on a different note, we had talked about the, you know, like making sure that there's members that are coming in to continue to build the sport. And so I'm kind of interested in jumping into that a little bit and understanding with teams, like what's your strategy to have members join, recruit, and have them stay in, like on your teams. But I do think it's important that there's like that intentionality around recruitment for members and teams, just to be sure that there are participants and that the institutional knowledge is being passed down. And, you know, like just exactly what you said, like sweepstakes and the teams, like they're the heart of Buggy. And I just hope that, you know, you want everyone involved to have a positive experience so that when they're looking back at this, they remember, you know, those moments with their teams or like the weird things that they might be laughing at, or, you know, even the hard times when you like cry together just because you're so tired, or like moments of delirium, whatever it might look like. But I think that's really at the heart of all of this. That's what it's really about, and why people keep coming back to it, because they have those memories and relationships and everything attached.
Cool. I think that's the majority of the questions I had. Is there anything we didn't get to you'd like to share or kind of cover as we're wrapping up here?
One of the questions was like, what is the most surprising or unexpected thing? But I think I just want to give like almost like a call out to all of the people. Like, I feel like this is like, I'm like thanking the Academy, but I just want to like, just give a shout out, because there's just so many people, like sweepstakes, they just complete an astronomical amount of work and from behind the scenes, and just to make sure that everything happens. And it really is like such a it's like a full-time job, and there's always something that could and should be done. I just had to like say that out loud, because like just such a huge appreciation for them and respect for the dedication that they put in to make everything happen. And I think just one of the aspects of that is just that has stood out the most is just, again, like how large the Buggy community is and just how it extends out. But in like, I don't feel like I realize this coming into this role as much as I do now that I've been into it for a year, but also like for the sweepstakes and managing all the different layers, like it's like just thinking about like there's sweepstakes, the teams, the chairman, there's families engaged, there's EMS, BAA, W3BC, the alumni, CMUTV, WRCT, there's all the different campus partners in FMS, environmental health and safety, campus design, there's finance involved, SLICE, the alumni office, TechSpark, campus police, city of Pittsburgh, all the different vendors, like CMU administration and like sponsors. And like, there's just such an extensive list of people, and not even like, I didn't even give a shout out to the podcast. My gosh, like there's just so many people. And I had to say all of those out loud, because that's just a quick list of all the people involved in this. And I think it's just really amazing of the community that's around this and just the passion, and yeah, just very grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, that's always the hardest part, signing off at the end of race day, is just like trying to remember every single person to thank and like, yeah, who's a part of it. And I've been talking for 5 hours or whatever. I should probably make a list like you had. That would probably help.
Yeah, I was like, I was really, I tried to really just reflect and think about the impact on me that this has had, like personally and professionally. And, you know, we were talking about moments before that you remember. And I just remember, at the award ceremony last year, they finished the award ceremony, was helping direct traffic on and off the stage. And like I approached some of my colleagues, and I just remember like bursting into tears, because I think it was just like so excited of like the thing happened.
Yeah.
Everyone was okay. Like, seems like people, like, obviously there's always things that happen, but in general, like, we had beautiful weather. The thing happened, like, the big exhale of everything. And yeah, just like, I'm excited for this year. Less than a month. Well, we're about a month at this point.
Yeah, good luck as it ramps up. But
thanks.
That was a nice anecdote to cap it. So there you have it. Hope you all enjoyed that episode. If you have comments, questions, thoughts, things you would like to see us talk about in the future, go ahead and hop on to our Discord. It's just at cmubuggy.org/chat. That's cmubuggy.org/chat. And you can let us know your thoughts right there. About halfway through this season, next week is going to be an episode you're not going to want to miss. We talk with the gentleman behind the infamous bathtub buggy, which, yes, is what it sounds like, a buggy that was made from a bathtub. Completely zany, wild story of a team that only existed for one season, did buggy their way. A very CMU story. It's funny, it's wacky, it's heartfelt. So you're going to want to tune back in for that one. But thank you for tuning in for this one. I want to give a shout out, as always, to Rachel Schmidt for producing, putting this together, editing, so on and so forth. And I am Will Weiner. Thank you very much for listening. We will catch you next time on Shoot the Shit.